بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. We thank Allah for the opportunity to go over the verses of the Quran and reflect upon them, and inshallah as a community to grow. We selected Surah Al-Mumtahina to go over this time. It's one of the shorter chapters. It addresses a very important matter in a more complete way than what we find in some of the other chapters in the Holy Quran, and that is the matter of the relationship between mu'mineen, muslimin, and non-Muslims. And I advise myself and all who are here and who would watch or listen to this to try to pay as close attention to the verses, not to what I say. I'm not worth listening to. The Quran, paying close attention to see for ourselves. Each of us has got to see for themselves what it suggests, what it says, what the verse says, and look at it for guidance. We want guidance from it. This is a matter that affects us one way or another, and we've got to get clarity from it. And the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nur, it's light, it provides guidance. And inshallah, Allah provides that guidance for us, inshallah. So this is the second session that we have on this chapter. The first session we went over the first verse. I'm going to briefly go over that so that we come up to speed, because verse 2 and 3 are continuing whatever was mentioned or what was discussed in the first verse. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya' tulquna ilayhim bil mawaddah waqad kafaru bima ja'akum min al-haq yukhrijuna ar-rasula wa iyyakum an tu'minu billahi rabbikum in kuntum kharajtum jihadan fi sabili wabtigha' mardati tusirruna ilayhim bil mawaddah وأنا أعلم بما أخفيتم وما أعلنتم ومن يفعله منكم فقد ضل سواء السبيل. O those who believe, this is an address to all of us. One of the points was this is not limited to the time of the Prophet. It addresses all of us. Do not take, لا تتخذوا, don't take عدوي وعدوكم أولياء, don't take my enemy and your enemy, which are one and the same. If we believe in Allah, if we consider Allah our Mawla, anyone who is against Allah, anyone who is an enemy of Allah is our enemy. And if we don't see it that way, we don't feel that way, then that means we're either not a believer or we're not fully there. We have a lower level of faith. Do not take my enemy or your enemy as awliya. Wilaya means to have a close relationship, a bond of friendship. Two friends are bonded together, not physically and materially, but a bond between their hearts. This concept is mentioned in numerous chapters of the Quran, the idea that we should not take, sometimes it says al-Yahuda wal-Nasara, sometimes it says al-Kafirin, and other terms are used, that we should not take them as awliya. They are not our wali. Okay, they're not someone to have a bond with. We shouldn't have a bond that makes us come together, gets us close together. We should not have such a bond. This time the wording that is used is عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ. Then it says, explaining what exactly shouldn't be done, an instance of taking someone, an عَدُوْ of Allah, as a wali, an instance that is forbidden, is this: تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. You show mawaddah to them. Mawaddah, we said, is, according to the definitions or the descriptions we have, is a bond between or in my heart towards someone else that I want to show. It's the bond itself. It's the feeling in the heart towards another person that bonds me to that person, and then I show that, I display that. تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, a gesture of kindness. That's the term we have used this time for a reason, right? When you show the feeling that you have, the positive, the loving, the liking, the attraction in a certain way that we have towards another, in this case the adu of Allah and the adu and the enemy of the believers, this is forbidden. Showing that, having the mawaddah and showing that to them, or having a liking and showing that to them, this is forbidden. If a person, so in other words, it started off with saying don't take them as awliya, and then it's describing what is the meaning of taking, what's an instance of taking the adu as a wali. The instance is the example of it, something that has happened, and the hadith is there. I didn't get a follow-up, and that's why I didn't send the handout. We said there's handouts that have been prepared for the first session. I didn't prepare it for the second session because nobody followed up. I'm not going to appoint anyone. Whoever would like to, if anybody would like to follow up with that, I would like, or I recommend or suggest having a WhatsApp group of some form, and then I would put that file up on the group so whoever's in the class can benefit from that. We've put out the definitions of words, and also any hadith that we have associated with what's in the verse has been outlined and has been put there. So the hadith is there with details, with translation as well. We covered some of the outlines of the story, but this person in Medina, Hatib ibn Abi Bultu'ah, a companion of the Holy Prophet, he had family in Mecca who were not Muslim, and he had a relationship with them. Then when the Prophet wanted to go and conquer Mecca, they somehow got a feeling that might happen, and somehow it's because they broke the treaty. There was a treaty of Hudaybiyah between them. They broke the treaty. They were expecting that the Holy Prophet is going to retaliate, and since he has nothing holding him back from the conquest of Mecca, they were thinking maybe that's one of the things he's going to do. They sent this message to Hatib through his family. They sent someone over there, and Hatib wrote back to them that the Holy Prophet is planning to go and conquer Mecca. This is what is referred to as تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, showing mawaddah. You care for someone, you have a liking towards them, that's a bond of mawaddah. You're showing them by sending this letter. This is called mawaddah. تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. And then it says, وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا. This is the status of those people who are عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ, and it explains why you should not have that bond with them. They have rejected what has come to you of the truth. قَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And it's not simply just rejecting it, although as we mentioned in the last session, kufr is the basis of this. What is mentioned afterwards is a result of kufr. The reason why they made the Prophet have to leave, they plotted for his death, is because of the kufr. Kufr doesn't simply mean, as some have understood it, lack of or absence of belief. There are people who belief in them is absent. That's not called a kafir. All right. A kafir is someone who has seen the truth and has rejected it. That's why it says قَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. They have rejected it. Okay. When you reject that outright, the truth that you see visibly, then the result, what the outcome is going to be, one step after the other, going against that, and it will lead to behavior like this. يُخْرِجُونَ الرَّسُولَ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَن تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ رَبِّكُمْ. But that's the foundation of it. That's the main reason. But then besides that, they've done these things. يُخْرِجُونَ الرَّسُولَ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. They made you have to leave yourselves and الرَّسُولَ, the Prophet. Why did they make you do that? أَن تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ رَبِّكُمْ. There was no crime that you committed. The only thing that you had done was that you believed in one God. You said all the other gods are not true. There's no such thing as another God. Then here we have إِن كُنْتُمْ خَرَجْتُمْ جِهَادًا فِي سَبِيلِي وَابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِي, which we said there's two possible explanations for if you are leaving for jihad, for struggling in the path of Allah and seeking God's satisfaction, God being pleased with you, if that's why you have left, either leaving for battle, and that may be a context, or leaving where you were in a more general sense, that would include any type of activity. When one starts pursuing the path of jihad fi sabilillah, which does not mean qital, it doesn't mean fighting in the sense of a battlefield and killing and weapons and so on and so forth. If a person is upholding their religion here against the odds, they are fighting in the way of Allah. That's jihad fi sabilillah. Wearing hijab is jihad fi sabilillah. Okay. Not shaking with the opposite gender when we're put in that situation is jihad fi sabilillah. This is struggling in the way of Allah. In kuntum kharajtum jihadan fi sabili. So either in the context of war, don't have this connection, which that would make it a little more specific, or more general in the sense that if you have left your homes, if you have taken the steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will make it more general. Of course, even if it's the specific one, that still doesn't make it limited, the concept, because this is not the only chapter and the only verse that gives us the idea of not taking the kuffar and the a'da of Allah as awliya. And the reasoning that's mentioned here is also not limited to that, but it would be an emphasis that especially in that context, you shouldn't be doing something like that. And then next it says, tusirruna ilayhim bilmawaddah, because the tusirruna means to show it in secret, or to reveal to them secretly something that was within. So the feeling of mawaddah towards them was something that this person had, and he is showing it to them in secret, because the letter he sent to the Meccans about the process or the decision of the Prophet to go and conquer Mecca was something that was sent in secrecy in such a way that was very difficult to for them to find. تُسِرُّونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّ. Again, if you have secret relationships with the kuffar, showing them kindness, showing them that you care for them, or performing acts that are instances of kindness and care towards them, especially, according to one interpretation, when there is fight or there's battle between you, you shouldn't be doing this. And then to remind the believers that they shouldn't be doing this, that why are you doing this? وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِمَا أَخْفَيْتُمْ وَأَعْلَنْتُمْ. You're doing this in secret. You don't want the Prophet to know. But aren't you aware that God knows, even if you do it in secret? If nobody else finds out about this, He knows. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلُهُ مِنْكُمْ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. Whoever does this, then they have lost the path. The straight path has been lost. They have lost it. They've gone off course. We gave a little bit of explanation about what that was. So now continuing on, we get to these two verses that we're going to cover inshallah tonight. إِن يَثْقَفُوكُمْ يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءَ وَيَبْسُطُوا إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَوَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ لَنْ تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. إِنْ يَثْقَفُوكُمْ يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءَ. What it means, يَثْقَفُوكُمْ, is that if they find you, okay, if they get their hands on you. The believers were in Medina, the mushrikeen, their enemies were in Mecca. Let me not explain, just يَثْقَفُوكُمْ. If they get their hands on you, right now you're distance, you're not with them. You're not at their disposal, you're not accessible to them. You are living under the security of the Prophet, what his government is providing for you, so they don't have their hands on you. They don't have access to you. If they get access to you, إِن يَثْقَفُوكُمْ يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءَ. You're at a distance, you're showing them kindness and care, you have mawadda towards them, for whatever reason, which inshallah we're going to be discussing briefly. As we mentioned in the last session, this is a one-way relationship. Mawadda is supposed to be a two-way relationship. You have a bond with another person, you have a liking towards them, they have a liking towards you. So in our mind, the illusion we have is that these people care for us. They like us. They like me. They like some of my buddies or whatever, for whatever reason. And now I want to return that, or I want to have that towards them as well. We think it's a two-way relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in this chapter here, or in this verse rather, that that is not the case. Reminding us, opening our eyes up. إِن يَثْقَفُوكُمْ يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَى. If they get their hands on you, they will be your enemies. They will not be your friends. And what that means, continuing on, it says, وَيَبْسُطُوا إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالسُّوءِ. And they will extend their hands, literally, towards you, and their tongues towards you, بِالسُّوءِ, with evil. وَوَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ. And they love for you to become kafir, for you to reject as well. At the points, that was a brief translation and a little bit of explanation. The points we have here, showing gestures of kindness, تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ or تُسِرُّونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, that's the phrase we put here, is done with an assumption that if we do this, we will get a similar response. Because we have that towards them, we think that they also have that towards us. And I don't want to discuss, the verse doesn't discuss it, but think about it. A person doesn't just come up with this idea, okay? Let me explain in the context of the story that we have. You don't just sit at home and think, oh, these guys like me, and then so I'll do this and they'll show that to you. They are enemies. They actually take measures to make you feel that way. You're their enemy, they know that. But they're going to come to you for one reason or another, and create a feeling in you that they like you, and they want you to feel that way, and you think, okay, they like me, I like them back. I want to do this to show my relation, show my care, show my loyalty, whatever, to them. They'll show it back to me. Okay. So there's something that they do here, one way or another. In the case, the story that we have, Hatib had a family in Mecca. They were kuffar, that's also discussed here. That's another important discussion we have in these two verses. But they were his relatives. One of the things that we have is that blood relations and our family ties, there's a lot of feelings involved there. And those feelings cause us to move in a certain direction or the other. We don't control or manage our feelings at heart towards people based on what God says, which is discussed here. We naturally, before we have trained ourselves, naturally what we have is that we have a family. These are my parents, these are my siblings, those are my uncles, these are my cousins, and so on and so forth. I have feelings towards them. I have a connection with them. I've had that. Think about the context. The Prophet has come and claimed that he's a messenger of God and that you should disbelieve in what everybody believes in there. Okay. And some people, some of the youth and some of the non-youth have believed in that Prophet. And so after 20, 30 years of living with their families, being raised by their parents, being raised by their family members, having those connections, having those ties, now the Prophet has said this, and then they see that those family members are against the Prophet, either on a greater scale like the leaders of Quraysh, or on a lower level. They didn't go against, they didn't believe in the Prophet, they didn't help the Prophet, they didn't go against their leadership. That's the family of Hatib ibn Abi Bultu'a. They're not some of the important and influential figures in Mecca. So they're not like the leaders of Kufr. But they also didn't go against their leaders. And not only in action, even in words. Forget about joining the Prophet, just saying, well, leave them alone. That wasn't something that was happening, right? So they saw that, yet What happens is that there's still a feeling of connection here. There's that feeling there. The mushrikeen in Mecca, they showed kindness to his family. Right? To his kafir family in Mecca, they showed that he felt that he was favored. There was a favor shown to them. They didn't show it because they liked his family or they liked him. They showed that because they wanted this intelligence from Hatib. They wanted him to reveal this important matter to them. Is the Prophet planning to attack them? They want to be ready for it if that is the case. So they don't care really about Hatib for sure, he's a believer, or even about his family. They did that in order to get Hatib to feel that he was shown a favor, develop that feeling of mawaddah inside, and express it by returning the favor in what way? Their request. The request is, provide us with this piece of intelligence and information. Okay, just understand this context. the point that we have here, when you do that, when they show this kindness, they feel that there is a relationship, something was shown, so they feel that there is a relationship, there is a mawadda, you develop that mawadda, you show that gesture, he explains, now this last bit there, they think that you'll get a similar response from them. Hatib felt, in this context, if I tell them this, the Prophet's going to attack Mecca. He didn't know that it's not going to be an actual military invasion. From the looks of it, from what they thought in Medina, they were preparing a big army, weapons and everything. Okay, so he's thinking, this is my family. This is maybe a chance that I have. If we're attacking them, we're going to be attacking them for sure. We're going to take over for sure. That's not something that is not going to happen. But I want to make sure my family is safe. Okay. This is what he said. So there's a, if I share this intelligence with them, they are not going to hurt my family or get allow them to get hurt in this. And then when I get there, somehow he's going to take care of it. But he wants them to show some form of protection towards his family. This is mentioned in the hadith. If you get it, you'll read it. We do that. When we show that kindness, we think there's a relationship. We think they're going to show something back to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verse explains, this is an illusion. This is an illusion. It's not real. If you think that you're going to get that response from them, they're going to show kindness to you, show mercy to you even. No. How does he say that? He says, they will be your enemies. They get your hands, their hands on you, they'll be your enemies. While I'm saying this, or while I was reading this, so many examples just pop into one's head in the recent events. And I hope people have grown up, because some people are very childish as soon as they hear something that's related to current affairs and applying these verses that are supposed to be applied one way or another to current affairs, because these are guidance. This is guidance from Allah, not for that time, not for 1400 years ago, but for today. That's why we're studying it. And some people get agitated or restless when they hear this, or they feel like, okay, here we go again. I don't know why that is, and I hope that's not happening here or the ones who watch this and listen to this. There were, unfortunately, in the recent years, we have the example, I mean, this part of it isn't unfortunate. We have the example of the Islamic Republic, the Islamic Revolution. A revolution that follows the path of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt in establishing a government based on Islamic teachings. And these are the Islamic teachings that we're supposed to have. From day one, Imam Khomeini said, America is the great Satan. Okay. America is the great Satan. Why? Because America is the cause of all the problems in the world. They've been doing that, whether it's in the Middle East, in the Far East, the Near East, and these are all terms based on how the Westerners have divided the world up and to based on whatever is closer to them or further away from them and so on. This is what we've had. So Imam Khomeini said that he was adhering to this, that you should not take them as awliya. From the beginning, there were some in the Islamic Republic, as politicians and otherwise, thinkers and so on, that had this feeling of mawadda towards the kuffar, or people. From day one, they said, told Imam Khomeini, you know, don't speak so harshly against the United States of America. Please just tone it down a bit. Or when the students in Iran attacked the American embassy in Tehran, because of so many different reasons, I can't even get into that, it's going to take a long time, they attacked. Imam Khomeini did not order them, but as soon as they did, a couple days later, Imam Khomeini said, this is the second revolution, and more important, a lot of these politicians were like, oh my God, you know, trying to get Imam Khomeini to tell the students to leave the embassy. If you look at the other countries, all the problems right now in Beirut, in Lebanon, are because of the American embassy in Beirut. The problems that Iraq is having is because of the American embassy in Baghdad. The source of the problems are there. They contact people, they try to get them to have this mawadda with them, they get gestures of mawadda, or they give to fool them, think they have mawadda, they're just using them. Now all these, I went a little too far, some of these other examples. I wanted to mention this. From day one in the revolution, you had figures that unfortunately did not adhere to this. And we have examples. إِن يَثْقَفُوكُمْ يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءُ وَيَبْسُطُوا إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالسُّءُ. This part right here. أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالسُّءُ. They will, if they get a chance, when it's the right time, they will show their hatred towards you in their words, in their expressions. One of the people that had this strong connection, and unfortunately still has a connection, has this mawaddah with the kuffar, has a certain level of wilaya with the kuffar, amongst the politicians in Iran, was Khatami, one of the presidents. And this is pretty public. This isn't revealing anything to anyone. If anybody has any feelings towards this particular individual, I apologize in advance. But these are facts that we are putting out. So he tried to get very close. The West even said, these are examples. See, they showed gestures to make him think he likes them, or they like him. Right? And so he came back, and he came over, whether it was the UN or wherever, trying to get close to the West and so on and so forth. What did George W. Bush do? He became the president. George W. Bush, he's shown, Muhammad Khatami has given all these gestures towards America to make them feel kind towards them. What do? George W. Bush says the axis of evil consists of Iran. The predecessors of George W. Bush didn't say that. After showing all this kindness in words and everything, bending towards as much as they can, because they don't have control over everything. Foreign policy is under the control of the leadership in Iran, to the extent that the leader allowed them. They really tried hard to get close. What happens? What does George W. Bush do? The axis of evil. Iran, North Korea, and whatever else. Important thing, Iran is part of the axis of evil. They're not going... Now, this particular administration in charge right now, I think it's pretty evident, pretty obvious, all media outlets are mentioning this. The current foreign minister, Javad Zarif, he's part of the system and we support him in that way, but it's evident that he's shown, whether it's smiles or walking with these politicians, he's shown mawadda, tulquna ilayhim bil mawadda. Unfortunately, that's one of the mistakes that's been made by this individual. What did they do? Remember, إِن يَثْقَفُوكُمْ يَكُونُ لَكُمْ أَعْدَى. No foreign minister of Iran was banned in New York from going around. He's the first foreign minister of the Islamic Republic, is now limited in New York. He can't go outside of the UN area. They didn't do that at Ahmadinejad's time. The foreign minister of Ahmadinejad that came out and say, blasted out against the US and against the Zionists and so on and so forth. And he's very well known. They didn't do that to him. They did that to this person who has come out and tried to be so nice and show smiles. تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. Not even in secret, or maybe there is secret stuff. I don't know. I don't have that information. I'm just talking about the public stuff. تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْوَوَدَةِ. What do you think? You think they like you? No. إِنْ يَثْقَفُوكُمْ. They get their hands on you. If they get access to you, if the right time is there. يَكُونُ لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءً. They will show that. In what way? يَبْسُطُوا إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَوَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Now, the other point we've mentioned here is it also explains what they will do. And I hope I'm able to explain this well enough. It's very important for us to understand. It's interesting, like the more you pay attention, the more you realize, my God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned everything we need. We just don't look there. Okay. We just don't look. Very briefly, three points are mentioned. يَبْسُطُ إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَوَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ. It gives you an outline of the whole thing, what they're going to do and what they want. And here it is. They will use their might against you. أَيْدِيَهُمْ doesn't mean hands. It means whatever ability, whatever might, whatever power they have. They will use their power against you. If they have military power, if they have political influence, if they have money, they will use it all. Whatever means they have, they will use against you. Okay, that's what they're doing. They're using the UN. They're using the UN watchdog on nuclear issues. They are using the influence they have in the region with the various countries and governments they have in the West, in European countries. They are using everything that's available to them. Whatever they're not doing, it's not available to them. That's the thing. Whatever they have available is أيديهم. يَبْسُطُ إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ. They will use whatever they have against you. That's one. The other thing, they will use their means of expression. أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ doesn't mean their tongues only. Media. They will use their media. Again, these examples, see, in the that's a general idea that they will do that, period. But connecting it to what is being said here, don't think that if you تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, if you show them مَوَدَّةِ, that they're going to cut back on that. No. You have the Saudis. Can you have any more مَوَدَّةِ towards the United States of America from any Muslim politician compared to the current administration of the Saudi regime? Okay. Whether it's MBS or his dad or his whatever, is all these guys around him. Right. Yet, what do you see? What does Trump say about them? You can't survive a week. You don't have anything but money. These are our cows. We milk them. This is the type of language that they're going to use against you. And still, at the same time that they have these connections with them, they are accused of being the ones who spreads terrorism. Their Islam is this. That's what's coming out. They're using them and hitting them at the same time. And they're so dumb. Of course, they are relying on the shaitan. They are relying on the shaitan. The end, this is what they want to get, or to get to, is for you to turn away from your path. You have become mu'min. This is such a, I think it's put out in a very concise set of words, but it's so important. When you choose a different path, right, that's where the enmity, animosity begins. You chose a different path. You're going a different way. That's the problem with the with Islam. Islam does not give in to the authority of tawaghit that will destroy the material and spiritual lives of people. Islam doesn't give or allow believers to move in that direction. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. So first thing is you've got to reject tawaghit. Okay. And then believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reject the tawaghit. Tawaghit is whatever ideologies, idols and so on, and also people who claim to be God, whether they hide behind the idols like the mushrikeen of Quraysh, or others who don't hide behind idols, but that's what it is. You got to listen to me. I'm the one that calls the shots. You have to follow me. That means I'm God. You guys have to listen to me. Whatever I say, that's tawhut. All right. You have to do kufr bit tawhut. That's what Islam's. Islam tells everybody that. So once you move away from their path, they want everybody to move in a certain direction. You move away from that, that itself, in words, in whatever actions, you don't have to fight them. They'll come and fight you. The problem is you started going a different direction. When is the enmity, animosity, antagonism? When is that going to end? If you come back. All the way. Of course, even then, some of you, because they have a fear that you're going to again rebel, they'll destroy you, right? But they want the movement to die. How does it die? When there is no movement moving in a different direction. And that's what? That's kufr. لو تكفرون. ودوا لو تكفرون. They want you to stop moving towards Allah. Stop moving towards the Prophet. Stop moving towards the Quran. Stop moving towards their teachings. Go back to our ways. That's it. Unless you do that, they will have this. إن يثقفوكم يكونوا لكم أعداء. The only way you can get rid of this, and this is mentioned in other verses of the Holy Quran, لن ترضى عنك اليهود والنصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم. You've got to follow them, which means kufr, right? Leave your way, your path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, leave it, go follow their path. It's kufr. وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ. The next verse, that was verse 2. This is the third verse, most of it. There's only one line that we've left for the last slide here. It says, لَنْ تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ. Literally, it says, لَنْ تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ. Arham are your blood relatives, people that you have a blood relation with, which are the closest in terms of the material connection. Right? That's what is seen. Right, that's the closest you can get in a material connection. It says, لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ. They cannot ever. نَفْع means benefit. They cannot benefit you. لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ. General, أَرْحَام would include أَوْلَاد as well. However, there's this illusion that people think that their children are going to support them more than their parents or their uncles or their cousins or any other blood relative. There's this idea that your children are going to listen to you and going to help you, they're going to take care of you. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ. Now, the way Allama Tabatabai and probably others have mentioned this is that this is talking about Yawm al-Qiyamah. On the Day of Judgment, they cannot benefit you, these arham of yours, your relatives, or specifically your children that you think they're going to help you. They are never, or they will not help you Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment. There's not an instance on the Day of Judgment that you'll be able to receive the benefits of your arham in general, or specifically your awlad, your children. And then they have said that yafsilu baynakum means that he will separate between you. The blood ties that you have, your children, your arham, you think that those connections are going to hold together and they are going to cause you to be able to benefit because these are your children, they have a connection with you. Because of that connection, they're bonded to you, and so they can benefit you. It says, يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ. My understanding is that although there's a reason why يوم القيامة is mentioned, and I have that here, and يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ happens يوم القيامة, but there are reasons to believe that this is not limited to the Day of Judgment, but there is something about the Day of Judgment that's related to this idea. And that is, when it says, لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ, they will never, لَن is different than لَا, okay? When you say لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ, that means one thing. لَن has more of an emphasis, categorically rejecting any type of benefit that they can have for you. If that will be limited to the hereafter, that suggests that, okay, in this world, your awlad, your arham can benefit you. This is the understanding that you get. This is what we would see. This is the reason why a person would feel that they would keep their loved ones with them. They would keep those ties with those family members and with the children, because they see that it does have, they do benefit you. I believe that this is not what is suggested. I believe what is being suggested is لَن تَنْفَعُكُمْ. The way that emphasis is there is suggesting that they can't benefit you, period. Not just on the Day of Judgment. If you understand the connection between the Day of Judgment and this world as well, as some of the ulama have expressed this in numerous speeches, classes, sessions, trying to get it to us, the connection of the Day of Judgment onwards and this world is not two different realms that God watches what you do here and then He decides that this is going to happen to you. There's a direct cause and effect relationship. Or as some of them have mentioned, some of these ulama, the word yawm that's being mentioned here, the day, it's because the realities, the truths become evident, the truths that were already there. Not truths that came into existence on the Day of Judgment. But these were truths, like it says, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكِ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Okay, yeah, who does authority and the kingdom belong to? Who's the king today? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. That's one verse. The other verse is, هُوَ الْمَلِكِ. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-malik. Not in the hereafter, not يوم القيامة. Today, هُوَ الْمَلِكِ. There is no other malik. There is no other authority. The problem is, يوم القيامة فبصرك اليوم حديد. Now your eyes are able to see clearly. Prior to that, you had a vision problem. Your eyes were not able to see. Our eyes have a problem seeing that. In this world, لن تنفعكم أرحامكم ولا أولادكم. Even here they can't do anything. It's not like, okay, if I want material benefit, go to my arham, go to my awlad, they're going to give it to me. No. Who's going to provide you benefits in this world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the means that He wants to give that to you. They're not going to be able to get it. Yawm al-qiyamah, it becomes evident. It becomes clear, it becomes apparent. You start seeing that. Yawm al-qiyamah. And before getting into these, I'm explaining this. Then, يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ. He will separate between you. I sort of connect these two together. يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ. يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, on the Day of Judgment, separate, put a separation between the two of you in a way where you can see it. Here, you saw that what you were seeing, apparently, okay, through, from your perspective, you thought that there is a connection. You wanted to have that connection because of the benefits of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, what are you trying to do? You want to keep these ties. On the Day of Judgment, يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separates between. So these are the points that come to mind regarding this part of the verse. The cause that lead the believer, in the case of the verses, the story that's there, to show the gesture of kindness to God's enemies, which is family. This is the connection between this verse. It's general. لَن تَنْفَعُكُمْ أَرْحَمُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ. Recite a salawat, please. Alright. See what happens. لَن تَنْفَعُكُمْ الْأَدَوَاتِ. These tools are not, if Allah wants them, He will give the benefit through them. Otherwise, they're not going to have that. Let's see what He wants. So that's a general idea, but in connecting it with what's being said here, the general idea was, don't take the أَعْدَاء of Allah as أَوْلِيَاءَ. Why is it suddenly saying لَن تَنْفَعُكُمْ أَرْحَمُكُمْ? Your family members are not going to help you, especially connecting it to the Day of Judgment. It's because the person who showed the gesture of kindness to the A'da of Allah, he did it because of his family. A family who were kafir, they were not mu'min, they were not believers. And what I mean by kafir is not that necessarily that they were the leaders of kufr, again, like the others, but they were in the community of kufar. They saw the iman, they saw the prophet, they saw his teachings. They chose not to join it, and they chose to remain with those who actively go against it. These family members, this person, Hatib ibn Abi Bultu'ah, a companion of the Prophet, a believer who's joined, he's a muhajir, he left Mecca because his own life was also in danger, but he has a connection with his family members. He has a connection, he's got relatives there. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if that's the reason why you want to have a wilayah with a'da'ullah, I want to have wilayah with a'da'ullah, because my child, we have this, there were people whose children were living in the West, and they became officials in, say, the Islamic Republic. So they send messages, these a'da of Allah send messages about the child that's over there. Because of the child, that official starts doing things. It's one of the problems that we have. They think that, oh, universities here are good, they send their children over here, and the person is an official in the Islamic Republic. What do you think the A'da are going to do? I'll say, oh, this is your child? Okay, we'll start contacting the guy and saying, look, there are these things that we want, and your child is over here benefiting from the universities, and so on and so forth. What do? Because of that child, تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. What says here, لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ. That's the first point, the connection between this verse and the previous, or the general idea that's being mentioned in the chapter. On the Day of Judgment, these relations won't help. As we said, the what we understand, this is based on what Allama Tabatabai says. Oh, I put out what comes to my mind as well. On the Day of Judgment, these relations won't help. Okay, you can have your arham, and on the Day of Judgment, when you're asked, why did you make contact? Why did you help the enemies of God? Say, because of my son. That's not going to be something that's going to help you. That's not going to be an excuse that's going to be accepted. And that child of yours can't do anything for you. You can say all you want, as other verses in the Quran explain the way it is. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِيهِ. Okay, every person is going to have their own worry and concern. As one of the other verses explains, that a mother on the Day of Judgment, oh, this is, I believe, in Surah Hajj, the first verse, that a mother who is nursing their child will drop their child, leave it to get to themselves. A mother that has so much care for their children that everybody speaks of, the Day of Judgment is so severe. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَبَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. The verse ends with that, or it has it in the midst of it. It's so severe that mothers don't care about their children. On the Day of Judgment, this is going to be evident. They're not going to be able to help you. We feel we have these ties with family which lead us to make choices which aren't correct. See, this is something I try to word it in a way where it becomes more relevant to us. It is a general idea being mentioned here. Family ties themselves, okay, family ties themselves are a cause for us to make decisions. Now, I've said wrong decisions here because that's the emphasis, but they are a reason for us. Now, what I'm just now saying, although I haven't written it there, it is a problem in itself. The family being a reason, those relationships being a reason for me to do whatever. Okay. The way it should be is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for me to show this relation or show this kindness to these people, my relatives, my parents, my whatever, I show it because of him. Okay. They're not the reason why I have this contact with them. They're not the reason why I'm showing kindness to them. The reason why I show my parents kindness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانُ. God said, show kindness. Okay, there's a difference between the two. If your relationship is because the feeling that you have at heart towards even your parents, then that is going to cause you at some point to start making a decision that is not correct. Or at least, you're going to be in a position that will be tested. You say, La ilaha illallah. Okay, there's no God but God. He says, do this. Now, there's a time where the parent gets in the way of that. So you have a choice here. Do you do what God says? Do you do what the parent says? Okay. Now, if you are doing things based on the way you felt, the connection you felt towards them, if that connection is strong enough, and the connection with Allah and the Prophet and the Imam is not strong enough, you will end up choosing that connection, and you may justify it. Say, well, God said to be kind to your parents. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Right? But it's actually going against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. We have these ties. They are that relationship itself. I want to get this across as well. Keeping that relationship, we feel like, oh my God, you know, if I lose this relationship, if I'm not with my parents anymore, or if they don't have a good relationship, they don't feel good towards me, there'll be all these problems, this, that, the other. Okay, and that's a reason for me to make decisions. I want to keep good relations with these people. Okay, I feel like if I lose that, something will happen. All right. What will happen is not important. Nobody discusses that. It's just because you have this strong connection at heart with them, you have that connection, you do things to keep that. One of the reasons for that is to keep those ties and connections. That's what we're saying. Not necessarily to get anything else from it. It's not like I want money from my parents. It's not like I just want to have them, to be able to go to them, see them, have that contact with them, have my children or my uncles, aunts, cousins, whatever. Whoever that I have those relations with, I want to keep those ties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, on the day of judgment, those ties will be severed. You will not have them. Okay? Or as we explained, on that day it will become evident there was never that tie. If it was a tie, if it was an actual connection, it should have survived the process of death, and you should have seen it on the day of judgment. It's not a real connection, it's an illusion. Okay, you wanted to keep it, you thought that these connections are so strong, your dad will be sacrificing himself for you to go to paradise. He'll go to hell for you to go to paradise. No way on earth your dad's going to go to hell for you to go to paradise. That's not going to happen. No one's going to do that there. Okay? So there isn't a real connection there. This is important. We have got to remind ourselves of this, although the particular instance here that is spoken of is a very severe instance, because having wilaya for the kuffar, even to the degree that's mentioned here, tulquna ilayhim bil mawadda, it's not like Hatib ibn Abi Bultu'a was always writing love letters to, I don't know, Quraysh. Okay, it's not like that. What happened is that there is this thing in his heart for his family and the leaders of Quraysh, and that became stronger in this particular context. He leaked some intelligence, or he tried to, because he didn't succeed in getting that intelligence to them. He did this one little thing. This is the whole chapter. These verses were revealed about how bad this is, right? It's a very severe instance. It doesn't have to be that severe. Or it doesn't have to start that severe. See, it's not like all these years Hatib nurtured this to develop. He just left it. It's there. Okay. Came to a point he ended up doing something like that. We may make smaller mistakes because of that. It's very important for us to realize that this should not be a reason for us to do whatever. If we show, and we should, Islam says, be kind to your parents. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. The reason why you do that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, to help al-aqriba, people who are close to you, help them. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will help them because of that. I'm not doing it because I have this connection, I have this feeling towards them. I have the feeling towards them to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it. Aqil comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, asks him a favor to give him, in some at least cases or in some accounts, give him a loan from Baytul Mal, not to give him Baytul Mal for himself. A loan even. Okay. Amir al-Mu'mineen doesn't allow that one, but he takes hot coal near his hand. He says, his brother says, you almost burnt me. Okay. That's the way he feels. And if you are dealing with that person because of the feelings that you have, even if you manage not to give them the loan, you will definitely not manage to do it the way Ali ibn Abi Talib did it. Okay. He doesn't have any of that. To the degree that God says, be nice to them, show kindness, have love for them, I have that. The moment that the instruction is, no, you have to get coal near his hand, it almost burns his hand and he feels it, although he's blind, that's got to happen. Okay. You don't try, oh, you know, I can't, please. No, you got to get coal. You think you want me to burn on the Day of Judgment? He's not doing it because Amir al-Mu'mineen is afraid of that. He says it in Dua al-Kumayn. If I'm able to go through, or he says to a degree, or in a sense, I'm able to take the punishment, hellfire, I can't take being away from Allah. That's the connection is strong with Allah. Wilayah of Allah is there. If wilayah of Allah is that strong, then nothing is going to get in the way. Right? This is, inshallah, something that we're going to take from this. The last slide that we have, Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. I didn't mention this in the last slide. It said يوم القيامة. That idea was put forward. Remember, at the beginning of the chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Believers. He's addressing believers. Believers are supposed to believe in the hereafter. One of the best reminders for us should be the hereafter. We shouldn't need explanations for how things are going to pan out in this material realm. Just knowing that this is what happens on the Day of Judgment, our belief on the Day of Judgment and what happens there should be so strong that we correct our behavior. So the mention of the Day of Judgment was there, that this is the situation. You think that you're going to get help from your family members, from your children. Day of Judgment, they're not going to be able to help you. And there will be no connection for them to want to help you even. There will be zero connection. يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ. Okay, that's there. And to complete that, as we've mentioned, complete the reminder for the believers, don't think God doesn't know. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Basir doesn't mean that he just sees. Basir is that very aware, like constantly on you. Knows exactly every little detail that happens in your mind, in your thought process, in your heart. Wallahu bima ta'amaloon. What you're doing is seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think you can hide it. Yeah, this is what happens on the Day of Judgment, but God doesn't know. Okay. I'll say something on the Day of Judgment to try to defend myself. No. Everything is seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a believer, that is a strong reminder. Okay, God forbid for us it wouldn't be a reminder and we would have to have explanations about this material realm and, you know, somehow there's harm coming our way. Here, the best reminder is this, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us take heed and consider this important. And hopefully all of what was mentioned in these few verses are taken on board by all of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Him to allow us to be His true and close companions. Inshallah, walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi al-tahirin al-tayyibin.